Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
I know your question. Hey, Rome, what does a gas station sex enhancer have to do with sports? My answer, hell if I know. Damned if I know. But apparently it does. Because yesterday, Jeff Passan reported that Major League Baseball issued a memo to players to warn them about, quote, the very real risk, end quote, of over-the-counter sexual enhancement pills. Now, that came after at least two players this year were suspended for PEDs and said that the banned substance in their urine came from these products. So where the hell do we even start with this? Gas station sex pills. Gas station sex pills. Like, we're not talking about that stuff that's advertised with the two geriatrics sitting in their matching bathtubs watching the sunset. It's not that. We're talking about pills with ingredients like horny goat weed. And no, horny goat weed nation, I am not taking a run at you. Save it. Don't at me. But Passan's report does answer a question that I've always had. Who the hell buys this stuff? More importantly, who the hell buys it at a gas station? And the answer is at least two major leaguers. Again, Major League Baseball players, big leaguers, finely conditioned athletes who make a living with their body. Their body is their moneymaker. Body is temple. They're freaking Ferraris. And they're now topping off their tanks with some crappy regular gasoline. The Ferraris, man, you're supposed to be running on premium unleaded fuel. You're supposed to know exactly what you're putting in your body at all times. You're a professional athlete. But at least two of these guys are pumping sex peds. Well, sex PEDs. And they're buying them from a gas station. Hell, that's the two that we know of. How many others are doing it and just haven't been caught yet? I guarantee the two guys who got caught are not the only two guys doing it. Now, I'm not here to judge. If you need a little bit of help and can get it legitimately, do that. Now, just because I'm a middle-aged dude and I have never, ever once taken one of those pills, never, ever needed it, never, ever will, I'm not here to judge. Yes, I am. I'm judging the morons, not the ones who are getting the edge through legitimate means. Legitimate medical means for a legitimate medical problem. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the morons who went to a gas station and said, hey, yo, give me $20 on three and give me a pack of Boss Rhino. Hey, and give me a pack of Crazy Rhino. Hey, you know what? I'll have one of those packs of the Rhino Bighorn. All legitimate products, and all probably right next to the Slim Jims. Again, I don't know about you. I don't need the Boss Rhino. But even if I did, no chance in hell I'm putting that in my system. And I'm just a middle-aged talk show host, not some extremely well-conditioned pro athlete, half my age. I mean, the hell is that? How about the so-called herb Viagra, which is either claiming to be Viagra made from herbs or Viagra made by a guy named Herb. Either way, I'm not going near it. I'm not going near it because I don't want to risk my chest or my heart exploding in my chest. Come to find out, buying something called Stiff Nights could lead to a failed PED test. Yeah, that or buying Stiff Nights means that you failed an IQ test. Apparently, it wasn't all the drugs and hookers that put Lamar Odom into a coma. He allegedly fell into a coma after taking some of that herbal Viagra. If that's not enough to scare you away from them, I'm not sure what is. I mean, seriously, what's going on here? How does this happen? How does even one person go there? And how many must be doing it that a league felt the need to drop a memo to tell all of them not to do it? Professional athletes need to be told not to get their sex PEDs from a gas station. I mean, that's a real thing. And again, I want to be so clear on this. Don't get this twisted. Don't come at me with, I've always had your back, Rome, but now you've gone too far. Don't come at me with, must be nice, Rome, that you don't need those pills, but I sure as hell do. You just lost a listener. No, I didn't. Not if you're listening. In no way Am I making fun of somebody who needs medical help? That is serious. That is nothing to joke about. That carries with it so many different psychological and emotional ramifications. I am not making light of that. This is why you see a doctor and you get a prescription and you address it. What you don't do is grab a packet of Weekend Prince after you've filled up your gas tank and you start guzzling your 32 ounces, a big gulp. If you've got a medical situation, deal with it in a serious medical manner. Don't get it from the same place that sells Slim Jims and lotto tickets and ICEs. Like, I get it. Sexual enhancement issues are embarrassing. You probably don't want to talk about that with everybody. So that said, why would you get your help from some dude who is selling you cigarettes, body spray, and crappy sunglasses? Hey, let's see here. I'll take that outdated map. I'll take some of those weird homemade Rice Krispie treats. Oh, and a box of Black Ant over there. I'll take one of those. I mean, I didn't think this would be something that ever needed to be addressed, something that would ever need to be said. I had no idea people needed to be warned about taking a product named RhinoZen Blackfire or Triple Power Zen or Power Zen Triple Gold. But apparently it does need to be said. And then it's got to be put down in a memo from the league. Like, imagine being that person in Major League Baseball who's got to sit down and compose that memo. You get out your finest MLB stationery, you put it into the office printer, and then you type out the following. Hey, dumbasses, don't buy gas station sex pills. Hey, and while you're there, don't lick the bathroom door either. Just to make this thing official, the memo reads, quote, sexual or male enhancement products present a very real risk for drug-tested players and the high likelihood of contamination or unidentified ingredients in these products underscores the importance of consuming only those products that are NSF certified for sport. No way. They're not testing and certifying those products sold at truck stops and gas stations? No way. I thought that a product like Trio Power Zen or Power Zen Triple Gold were going to have to go through rigorous lab testing. I thought gas stations were only allowed to sell the finest sex pills available. Damn, what kind of world do we live in now where you can't trust gas station sex pills? Look, I've got no idea if these products do what they say they do. I mean, if the product's name is Titan or Libigro, how could it not work? But I do know this. They're unregulated. There have been numerous FDA warnings about them, and now they've got an MLB warning too. And apparently at least two of their players have failed PED tests as a result. Nice work, fellas. The only thing more embarrassing than failing a PED test is failing a PED test because you took gas station sex pills.
Sex with me.
Yeah, I don't know that this is how you make that game great again. By having guys load up on gas station sex PEDs. I just know this. I never thought that I'd be talking about it. I also know this. I'm talking about baseball to lead the show again, but for all the wrong reasons. Hey, man, if you need some help, I get it. Get it legitimately. Not at a gas station. Mac Brown is my guest. Mac, it is so good to have you back on the program. How are you, Mac?
I am great, my friend. How are you?
Mac, I'm great. You know, you and I have not had a chance to speak for a little while, certainly not since you returned to Chapel Hill. So, how is life for you, and how excited are you to be just over a week away from starting your season?
Well, life is great, Jim. And you know, when somebody called you as quickly as North Carolina did and says, will you do this? And you do it because you're a coach and you're excited about it and you love this place and you've got history here and familiarity. And 10 months later, the question is, were you ignorant? Did you lose your mind, or is
right.
It good? And we've had a great time. Kids have responded. We got a really good staff. Got a great schedule. We open up in Charlotte with South Carolina and have Miami coming in here for a night game the second week. So we've got a great challenge ahead, but the kids and the coaches and the head coach are excited.
This episode of the Jim Rome Podcast is brought to you by CBS Sports HQ. Look, I think we're all aware that sports TV nowadays is full of made-up drama, beating the same topics into the ground every single day, and hot takes from people who don't even believe what they're saying in the first place. But CBS Sports HQ is here to change all that. CBS Sports HQ is a network that streams live 24/7. They've got coverage that's just focused on the game. They bring you the latest news, highlights, previews, and reactions to all of the on-the-field action. Their fantasy sports experts will give you the info you need to make the right calls for your lineup, and their betting experts will help you cash in on your wagers. In other words, no fake debates, no politics, just sports for real sports fans, and best of all, it's free. Totally and completely free for everybody. You don't even need a login. All you have to do is open up the CBS Sports app and watch anytime from anywhere on your phone or at home on your Apple TV, Roku, or Fire TV. It could not be any easier. Download the CBS Sports app and watch CBS Sports HQ today. Mac Brown joining us. You know, Mac, you answered my next question in part, but let me put it to you another way. I had Herm Edwards on the show yesterday, and we talked about the fact that he had a really good thing going as an analyst, but he really missed coaching. Now, you had a really good thing going as an analyst as well, and even more than that, Mac, you had done everything there is to do in college football. So what was it that brought you back to coaching?
Jim, when they told me I was going into the Hall of Fame, They say it's a year before you can get inducted, and I said, why is that? And they said, you need to go back and tell everybody that helped you get in, thank you. And that is more than appropriate with an ultimate team sport like football. So we had a function at Texas, at Appalachian State, at Tulane. And then when I came back to North Carolina, about 200 of the ex-players came, and they started talking about what we meant in their lives and what they say to their children. And remember when you said this, coach, and as we were walking out, my wife, Sally, said, I learned three things tonight, I think. I said, what's that, honey? And she said, number one, you better be careful what you tell a player as a coach, because they're going to listen and they're going to remember it. Number two, that this is who you are. This is what you do. You mentor young people. And you had more energy tonight. You had more excitement in your voice. I can see why you miss this so much. And she said, so number three, if the right thing came up, then you need to get back in coaching, because that's what you do the best.
Mac Brown joining us. I appreciate that so much. In fact, Mac, one of the things that I've always appreciated about our conversations over the years is how thoughtful and reflective you are. You've said that at a certain point, you won the national title at Texas, and you were putting so much pressure on yourself to win that you may have lost who you were and why you were doing it. So what did you learn from that experience? What was the big takeaway?
Jim, I asked Coach Royal after we won the national championship, and Coach Royal won three of them there, and he quit when he was 52 years old after 20 years as a head coach, and I'd already been 30 or 26 or 7 at that time. And I said, Coach, why did you quit? And he says, because there got to be so much pressure to win that that's who I became. I became a win or a loss every week. And he said, the losses were devastating and the wins were a relief, because we were supposed to win all the time. And he said, there was no joy in my life. And what I realized, Jim, after the national championship game that we lost against Alabama in 2010, we were winning 9 games or 8 games, and that wasn't enough for me. It wasn't enough for the Texas fans. And I got so it was more about wins than it was why I got into coaching, and the players and the coaches and the enjoyment of the game. And that's what I realize now, that's where I got hung up on those things. And my wife made me promise coming back that I'm going to have fun with everything we do. And I used to get mad over wins, because that win wasn't good enough to beat Alabama, and that win against Colorado wasn't good enough to beat USC or Oklahoma. And so we beat Colorado, I think, 35-14 one time, and I was mad at the whole staff leaving the field because it wasn't good enough. And so I'm going to take ugly wins now and be excited about them.
North Carolina head football coach Mac Brown is my guest. Mac, one of your former players, Cedric Benson, passed away over the weekend. Can you share your thoughts? What do you remember about him as a player and a person?
Number one, it's devastating. Sally and I are just crushed. I mean, here's a 36-year-old that we love, that was an extension of our family. And I remember most, Cedric's a guy that every time he touched the ball, he ran all the way in the end zone in practice. We had to move the offense down near the goal line so he wouldn't kill himself. And he was so tough. He never missed a practice or he never missed a game. And this is a quick story to kind of tell you who he was. We're playing Michigan in the Rose Bowl. Texas had never played Michigan. Texas had never been to the Rose Bowl. He's a number one draft choice. Might be a first five pick. In fact, he ends up being the fourth pick after the game. First play of the game, he twists his knee. It's hyperextended. Doctors are over talking to him, and they said, "I don't think you should play anymore. You're a first-round draft choice, and this could really hurt your money and your status." So I go over and say, "Cedric, just don't play." And he said, "No, sir. This is Texas against Michigan in a Rose Bowl. Coach, I'm playing. Tape it up." Played the whole game. And didn't gain a lot of yards, but he was the decoy up inside because they had to stop Cedric Benson. And Vince went crazy and broke a lot of records in the Rose Bowl that day. And Cedric didn't get any credit for it, but he should have. So I'm walking out really late after the game. We won the game in the last seconds. And I see Cedric sitting over in his uniform crying in the corner. He and I are the only two people left in the locker room. And I said, "Is it your knee? Are you okay?" And he said, "Coach, it's not my knee." He said, "This is the last time I'll ever wear a Texas uniform. And I just can't believe that. I can't stand it." So that's the kind of, at a day where we've got guys missing bowl games and missing seasons and stepping out because they're afraid they're going to get hurt, you've got Cedric Benson, who loved the game and loved the University of Texas so much that he was going to play hurt in the last game of his senior year, regardless of if it hurt his draft status, just because he loved the university so much.
It's an amazing story, Mac. Mac Brown is a Hall of Famer, a two-time National Coach of the Year. He is the head football coach at the University of North Carolina. You know, Mac, I wish we kind of hit this segment at a funny time. I wish you and I had more time to spend together, but I'm out of time for the hour. But, Mac, it is so good to reconnect with you and finally have you back in the jungle. I hope we can do it again soon and continue the conversation. It's really good to hear your voice, Mac.
Thank you, Jim. Same here, and anytime you need me on, you just call. I'll be honored to be on.
Yo, Orion, what's up? How are you?
I am good, Jimmy. Listen, I'm a huge, huge Rammstein fan. I've seen them in Berlin. I've seen them in Mexico City. I will travel internationally to see Rammstein. And it drives me utterly insane that everybody's favorite song from that band is the worst song in their catalog. Du Hast is garbage. It is the musical equivalent of a triple U. Unlistenable, unoriginable, uninspired.
Garbage!
Telling me that Du Hast is your favorite Rammstein song is akin to telling me how big of a Metallica fan you are, but Enter Sandman is your jam. Slap yourself until my hand hurts. Or, I don't know, walking around with a giant Slipknot S tattooed on your shoulder and telling everybody your favorite...
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that.
Hey, Ryan,
call.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you.
Not a very good call.
I couldn't hear you over all that awesome Du Hast that I was bumping. Did you say that playing that song, their worst song, is the equivalent of a triple U? And that it's, quote, unoriginable? Did you say unoriginable?
Unlistenable, unoriginable, uninspired.
Garbage. I thought you said unoriginable. Unlistenable and unoriginable.
Unoriginable.
First of all, Orion, you're wrong. This song that you speak of, Du Hast, not only is it not, quote, unoriginable.
Unoriginable.
It's amazingly awesome-able.
Unoriginable.
It's not unoriginable.
Unoriginable.
And dude, I haven't heard anybody that fired up about anything in a long time. Is it not enough that we bump your band? Who else in this format, in this genre, is bumping Rammstein? Me. Man, tell you what, Orion. I'm not going to tell you what to do, and I'm not going to tell you what to think. But I am going to tell you to keep Du Hast out your mouth. It's unoriginable.
Now,
you know what? That take was terrible, a bull.
Unoriginable.
Horrible, a bull.
Unoriginable.
Awful, a bull.
Unoriginable.
Come on, Orion. Do better. Be more originable.
Unoriginable.
You step your freaking game up, a bull.
Step your game
Orion-able.
Up.
Orionable.
unoriginable.
Just go smoke a bowl, Orion, a bowl.
Unoriginable.
Come on, man. Unoriginable. You're going to tell me that Duhas is unoriginable?
Unoriginable.
Man, what a terrible take. Sorry about that, bro. Do better. You're lucky I don't play that song under the rest of the show. Summer's heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery, and rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate. So you want to stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts right now. Have your battery tested free of charge. If that battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or your truck, and you'll get it at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Let's go to Huntington Beach. This is the real thing. Silk, what's up, brah?
What's up, brah?
Dude, tell me how you're feeling. Tell me how last night went. I got to hear details. What's going on?
Brah, like, thanks for letting me follow those two stellar calls. So I get back into town from a week in Cabo just to get ready to set up for Rick and Buffalo coming here. And it's been awesome so far, but I do need to say, I didn't even know Rammstein had more than one song. I love learning something new on your show. Next, you're going to tell me that the guys who do Sandstorm have a greatest hits album. But yeah, so Rich Flores left a big cooler of Jenny Cream Ales for him at his Airbnb. So Rick and his family get an Airbnb. It's like six blocks from my house, bro. It's killer. So Rick decides to hit up Duke's at the pier, and I'm like, bro, let's grab a beer. So I find him wandering around the Northside Beach parking lot, bro, in that Goo Goo Dolls shirt. And, I mean, he sticks out like a sore thumb right down there. But Rick's a great dude. And everyone on Twitter is giving him a hard time saying, come on, bro, you've got a regular voice. But let me tell you, yeah, he's got a fairly regular voice. But it takes him 2 seconds to get up to 900 decibel, bro. He was turning heads in the bar when he was talking about the Bills. People were, he sounds like he gargled with a shot glass of gravel, bro. But it was awesome. Raider Mike's in town also. So we hung out with him last night. I think we're going to do something again tonight. And then, of course, we've got this big pool party on Friday, bro, at Corey and Karis's house. And then Kit's place Friday night. HB's best kept secret dive bar, bro. It's going to be hot. Do you have any questions you want me to ask Rick, bro? Anything I can pass along to him, bro?
All right, so did he try to fight anybody last night?
No, but he did. We were doing a scope from this little place called Driftwood around the corner from my house, and Rich Flores doesn't like the place. He thinks there's, like, meth addicts there. So in the bar, there's, like, maybe 15 people in there. He yells out, Rich doesn't like coming here because he thinks it's full of meth addicts, and every single person turned around and went crazy. But we salvaged it by I went on the jukebox and played a bunch of Goo Goo Dolls B-sides for him, and like 10th Avenue Freeze Out by Springsteen, bro. He was caviling, bro. He was so stoked.
Silk is joining us to talk about Rick. That's so great. So, like, I'm curious, like, Rick's from Buffalo, Silk. So when he comes to HB, what's his reaction? Does he think because – you know, I'd have to explain HB. It's not Newport Beach. It's not Crystal Cove. It's not Laguna. What is Rick? What was his reaction to HB?
He's digging it because we, you know, I live downtown. Rick is staying downtown. So you're right. My wife sometimes grumbles when she hears your description of HB, but she didn't always live here. I've lived here my whole life. You're right. There's a lot of parts of HB that are nice, and there's been a ton of redevelopment, but there are some gritty spots to HB. Sometimes people will throw the hands. Sometimes people will burn a couch. Right? Just, you know, there's little pockets, right? So I know what you mean when you describe it. So I think my wife's just worried about you driving down our property value, but really, your description of HB is great. So Rick fits in perfectly. He likes a little grimy, gritty area. And where we're going to be partying tomorrow night at Kit's place, which clones, if you want to check in on our tour and Rick's tour, just follow. You know, if you don't follow Rick, follow me at Silk Bra. Make sure you put the H on the end. It's not a female support garment. It's bra, as in pigeon from Hawaii, yeah, brada. So we're going to be at a cool dive bar. It's got the jukebox, pool tables, but it's perfect for Rick, and he's really digging it, bro.
So don't go anywhere. First of all, great call. Two things really quickly. Make sure the wife understands this, and she should, but make sure she understands it. Man, I'm coming from a good place. I love HB. I love HB. I'm not in any way disrespecting HB. I'm just saying there are parts of HB that are really, really nice, and there are parts of HB where you could get the hands. It's kind of a gritty place. You know this. Silk, I don't know if you know this or not. Tell me if you do, and I won't take offense. I don't know if a lot of people know this. I grew up on the west side, then moved to the valley, but I was born, the first house I ever lived in as an infant was in HB. Jim Rohn lived in Huntington Beach as an infant.
Bro, dude, of course, bro. I mean, I think you mentioned it like, I don't know, a few months back or whatever, because, you know, I am a consumer of the Jim Rohn content, bro.
Good.
So I hear everything. And I'm a historian, of course, bro, by trade. So I knew that, bro. Because all great things come from HB, bro. Well, I've been here my whole life.
I want to make sure everybody knows that. So let me jump in because Elk's coming up next. Kits. They're going to be partying at Kits tomorrow night in HB. XFL, WTF, REX, ABQ. Good morning, Rex.
Hey, Jimmy. Hope you're doing well. So your embarrassment of an executive producer, Adam Hawk, sent out some tweet yesterday about a new sandwich at Popeyes. So I decided to get down, and, you know, it was delicious. Buttermilk battered and hand-breaded white meat chicken, filet topped with pickles and a spicy Cajun spread. And I'm not saying the Cajun mayo spread wasn't delicious, but what I am saying is it triggered an immediate code brown. I mean, Usain Bolt's record 100 time was in jeopardy while I sprinted to the nearest hole to send a fax.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Okay. Snap reaction to that. Number one, I've got Hawk on mute on Twitter, so I didn't know that he did that. Number two, I'm really shocked that that story that you tell, Rex, ended the way it did. Didn't see that coming. Number three, Alvin, what was it about the so-called Code Brown that you missed? Why was he allowed to keep on going beyond Code Brown? To Rex's credit, he had more content and didn't stop there. Like, he probably assumed that no way I'd get beyond Code Brown, but he kept right on going. Sure did. He is Steve Elkington. Elk, mate, I got to know, where are you right now? Where are you doing this interview from?
Mate, I just pulled the wagon over on hole 6 here at the Rabbit under the big oak. About 108 down here.
Perfect. Perfect. All right,
so
Elk.
So hot in Texas, mate. So hot. Doesn't matter, though. The swing is loose.
The swing is loose. I know it. All right, so let me get into this. The FedEx Cup finale is underway today at East Lake in Atlanta. Before we get into the scoring system, Elk, what do you make of the course at East Lake?
East Lake, mate, is a tremendous place. I've only ever played there once. It's a tremendous course. It's a hilly course. Of course, we saw Tiger Woods, you know, make the initial run back at his new, you know, the new move last year. It's a hilly course. You've got to drive it well. The players will have to deal with about a 3-inch Bermuda rough, which is tough because you literally can't get any grip on the ball. And these players are a little bit tired, Jim. There's a few at the top that have got a lot of energy, and I think there's a few at the bottom that are just, like, got their tongues hanging out.
Steve Elkington joining us. All right, Elk, what about that scoring system? It's new this year. It means that Justin Thomas already has a 2-shot lead before even hitting a shot. What do you make of that?
You know, it's this sort of this whole FedEx Cup thing, mate. I was there when it started. You know, Fincham wanted to do a sort of something that matched the NASCAR type finality of the season. Then they decided they would sort of do a four playoff system like the NFL. And now they've got a handicap system, and it just doesn't look. The players are liking it because there's tons of money, but it's not working out real good for the fans. Because now that I'm in the other side of the locker room. It doesn't pass the outside-inside rule, mate, which is if I'm outside and I come inside, I say, Jimmy, what's the score in the baseball? And you say, mate, it's 6-4 Astros in the bottom of the seventh. Okay, what's the score in the football? Oh, Raiders 24, Cowboys 10 in the third. What's the score in the golf? Oh, well, Leishman's tearing it up, mate. He's 6-under on the front. He's leading this tournament, but he's down 9 in the actual. Ah, what happened? That's where it is right now.
Well said. All right, so Elk, what about that? I mean, is the confusion about that scoring system kind of a one-year thing and something that's going to go away? Like, will the fans get used to it? Or did they just kind of get this thing all wrong?
I think the big thing was the most embarrassing thing that hardly anyone knew about was when Bill Haas won that tournament. He hit that shot out of the water, and he was in a playoff to win the actual tour championship, just the event itself. and he made that great, incredible up and down out of the water on the 17th hole and came onto the 18th green to get his trophy. And Fincham said that he'd also won the FedEx Cup. He didn't even know that he'd won the 15 mil. And so they said, wait a second, we can't have two champions come onto the green. So they said, we can only have one champion. That's what they've said this year. They said, okay, so how do we do that? We're going to give the leader a bigger lead, and we're going to give the guy who barely squeaked in, like one of my guys, Jason Kokrak, who has a, you know, he starts at even, and Justin Thomas starts at minus 10. Now, I knew you would ask me, so I'll just say it. Brooks Koepka
right.
played the best golf this year by a mile, and they advertise the FedEx Cup as being a year-long competition, but is it really? Justin Thomas has played good 1 week, and now Brooks Koepka finds himself three shots behind a guy that's played good 1 week.
You're right, Elk. I was going to ask you, and you saved me the trouble. So what about Brooks? When you look at how he is always so dialed in for the big moments, how do you think he shows up this weekend?
It's hard to tell. Justin Thomas is such a beast, mate. I was up at Medina last week, and there's very few young guys out there that really like the lead, like go to six ahead, go to seven ahead. And I was watching him putt. And when he came on tour, mate, he wasn't a very good putter at all. And now he's just a freak putter. He's got a great setup and just, you know, everything that you want to see, like Tiger Woods when he putts, it looks like it's going to go in. And he just ran away with that tournament, even though it got close at times on Sunday. And I actually think that I don't think anyone's going to beat Justin Thomas this year. As good as Brooks has played, he is just flat as flat right now.
Hey, Elk, have you seen that photo of Hefty in the ocean looking really slim, if not actually shredded? Like, I'd ask you what a diet like that, assuming that picture is legit, what that means for his game. But with Phil, isn't it always about some product that he's trying to hawk or sell on the basis of that photo? What do you make of that?
Mate, I knew that you were going to ask me about this, and I'm ready because, look, a couple weeks ago, this happened. This is very predictable behavior with big people. A couple weeks ago at the Open, we had the admission, right? We had the admission that he's doing a cleanse, right? I mean, mate, you've interviewed everyone in the world. Has anyone ever come up to you and said, Jimmy, before you talk to me about the Super Bowl, mate, he says, I just want you to know I'm on a 5-day cleanse, mate, and I'm hitting the bulkhouse like for 8 hours a day, but go ahead. What's your question for the Super Bowl? So that was the big admission, mate. That was 3 or 4 weeks ago. So here we are now. You know, in your neighborhood, mate, when you've got a gal or a woman in the neighborhood is carrying about extra 40 or 50 and she puts it on the neighborhood app, she says she's going to do a cleanse or she's going to go into yoga. And then you see her like 3 weeks later, she's dropped 20 and she's wearing a thong at the party on the corner barbecue cookout. This is called the big reveal. And this is the phase that we're in with Hefty. This is the reveal, mate. His sister took the picture. No one else is going to take the picture. He might have had some chest wax, some back wax, but this is phase two, mate. This is normal. There's only one other phase. It's either he comes out to the tour looking like Randy Orton next year, or he goes back to phase one. It goes back to the cleanse. There's no other way. This is just common behavior, mate.
I'm glad that you were prepared for that question, Elk. All right, so how is the SG Tour Golf app coming? For those who are not already involved, how do they get involved and bring me up to date?
Mate, we've been having a ball on SG Tour. It's a gaming app for golfers. You know, when you think about what a super fan is for golf, when you think about Hawk, right, who's your producer there, they like to watch the golf, they like to play the golf, they want to have a little action, they need to they want action in the game. They want to learn about what the pros are thinking, what the course is like, all these things that are really make what we call the super fan. We're able to put that into the SG Tour app. And, mate, we're having a large time. He's helped me put some games together. We'll probably put another big game together for the Clones. What do you think, Hawk? I'm asking through you. Maybe we'll do a big moving day on Saturday for the Clones.
I love the way, Elk, that the Clones have reacted to this. I'm not really sure that I understand your connection to Hawk, but I love the way the Clones have reacted. Hey, Elk, really quickly, I've got about 90 seconds. Your friend Fred Greenwood passed away recently. He had a connection to the show and the tour stop back in the day in Houston. For those who don't know, who was Fred? What was he like?
Well, I know you guys have lost some of your close friends in the jungle. And you know, Fred Greenwood, for me, you know, he was one of the last of the black caddies that grew up around our sport and, you know, took care of my family for 35 years. It's the end of him, but it's also the end of an era. But you know, he came to our tour stop with you, and my wife said, Fred, you go down there and you make sure Elk gets back, make sure he doesn't get in the bag. And of course, you and I were down there in the room with Arian Foster at the whole House of Blues, and Fred was standing at the door, and all the clowns were giving Fred Crown and Cokes, and we finished up having to spend the night in the 55 Ford out front, and policeman knocked on the window at 7 in the morning and said, what are you two doing in here? And he said, well, we were at Jimmy's deal, and we both got in the bag, so we had to stay here. So, and then, of course, my missus said, well, I'm glad you had a nice night in the front seat of the 55 with Freddie Greenwood. But, mate, it's always amazing to me, Jim, that a guy who has nothing has the respect of all these millionaires down here, because he's just a hard-working guy, good attitude, wants to work, and just enjoys himself. And it's a bit of a sad, it's very sad for all of us down here, but it's the end of a bit of a catty era as well.
Oh, Elk, way to nail that. That is such a great memory and such great thoughts for your guy. Steve Elkington joining us, talking about Fred Greenwood and the app and more. Elk, that is so awesome. Really quickly, so I remember that night, and Arian Foster was there, and Arian did not know who you were. And I'm like, Arian, this cat, you've never met anybody like Elk. He's the funniest guy ever. He's the funniest athlete I know. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. About an hour with you, Arian had changed his tune completely. He's like, dude, you're right. This cat is wild.
Well, mate, that's like Hawk. See, Hawk's a little bit eccentric like me, mate. He'll wear anything. He'll say anything. And that's probably why he's in that chair right outside your office, mate.
No, dude, he's nothing like you.
A little bit different.
We're talking to Bob Melvin. The thing is, right, let's not confuse having a good roster with having a good clubhouse. It's not one and the same, right? How important is it to have a clubhouse and have guys that get along? Because it's not as simple as it sounds, and not every clubhouse is like that.
You're right. And, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a great clubhouse to win games, but it certainly helps. And these guys support each other. And we feel like we have a really good mix of guys that came up through our system, which is important. Have pride in being an Oakland A and playing here. And then you mix in, you know, the right guys, you know, the Simeons, like I said, and guys like that have been around a little bit more, take on some leadership roles when they've been here for multiple years. And it just seems to be a really good group. You know, I've been doing this for a little while, and this is probably as tight a group in the clubhouse as I've ever been around, and it's definitely impactful.
Bob Melvin joining us for a few more moments. You know, Bob, I'm on the outside looking in, but it just seems to me from the outside, something that really jumps out to me is you've got guys like Matt Chapman and Matt Olson, and they've had such an impact on the field, but vets around the team talk about the impact they've had on that clubhouse too. How do you explain young guys like that just showing up and impacting every part of the team the way they have, and not just on the field?
Yeah, no doubt about it, and that's a great point. You know, you don't have to be a veteran to be a leader, and, you know, I've learned that over, you know, especially over the last several years, that if guys have leadership qualities, you let them go. It's not anymore where you got to have 2 or 3 years under your belt and, you know, you're quiet until you're a veteran and then you lead. It's not that way anymore. If they have those qualities, you know, let them do it, and both these guys have those qualities. They've won wherever they've been in the minor leagues, and they just have a great will to win. So that resonates in our clubhouse. They are a big part of it the minute they came here, and continue to be even more so. You know, they just have that winning attitude that, you know, it's not a personal thing. It's not an individual thing. It's about the team. And they show up every night and lead by example, too.
Bob Melvin joins us. Bob, before you go, the front office went out and added pitchers in Homer Bailey and Tanner Rourke. And on top of that, you've got some guys who are on the verge of coming back. So what do you make of the pitching depth that you have right now and could be getting soon?
Yeah, it's, you know, you have to have pitching depth. And we've seen that over the years here. Like I said, last year we lost our entire rotation, and so you have to have that, and we feel like we're in a really good spot now. You know, Bailey's done a great job for us. Rourke is going to pitch tonight, and he's been terrific for us as well. You know, Mike Fiers has led the way the entire season, and we still have Sean Manaea that we don't know what to do with yet. He's pitching in AAA on a rehab assignment, and Jesus Luzardo, our number one prospect, is up to about 65, 70 pitches or so. So, you know, it's good problems to have. You know, once you get to September, you can expand the roster anyway. So the depth has been awfully important for us and will continue to be.
And then finally, what about that conversation about the postseason? You've been here before, but last night's win moves you a percentage point ahead of Tampa Bay in the wild card race. The playoff push, I mean, is that something that you talk with your players about, or do you just not even need to mention that at this point?
You really don't. There are a lot of games left, and it's going to go back and forth, and every game is going to feel like it's the last game. And I don't think it's you know, we need to really talk about that right now. There's enough out there, and, you know, we just need to try to win as many games as we can. And if we lose a game, it's not the end of the world. If we win a game, we try to ride the momentum. You know, once you get into the middle of September and you get back to the last couple of weeks, you know, then the finish line's in sight, and teams start to play a little bit differently, whether it's tighter or other teams respond. So right now it's just trying to win every single game that you play and not focus too much on where the standings are.
Another big one tonight, Oakland at home against the Yankees, and they currently hold on to the second wild card spot. He is a three-time Manager of the Year, and as I mentioned, one of only six men to win Manager of the Year in both leagues, Bob Melvin. Bob, always good to have you on this show. Thank you so much, and I really appreciate the conversation.
Always good to be here. Anytime, Jim.
Caleb. What's up, Caleb?
What a do, Van Smack. I'm taking Elk's advice and trying to do a big reveal myself pretty soon. I know people want to know the status of my weight loss challenge with Beaks. We'll give everybody a full halftime report after our September 1st weigh-in. Right now, suffice to say, I'm up a few touchdowns and feeling lean. I don't think I'll be showing up anywhere in a thong anytime soon, but yeah. Now, I haven't watched a preseason game in over a decade, but I'm 1,000% tuning in tonight to watch my beloved Green Bay Packers take on the Raiders up in Winnipeg. How about Aaron Charles Rodgers if you need him? Touching down at the Manitoba International Airport / bait shop, decked in full Canadian regalia. Almost like he's about to be knighted by the Queen for bravery in the face of saving a Tim Hortons from burning down. He looks like Adam Hawk got sucked up into a tornado with the country's entire denim crop and spit back into a tin of Copenhagen. It's glorious. Now, I don't know if he's suiting up tonight, but treat him carefully, Winnipeg. His right arm is the first gun you people have had in your country since the War of 1812. When he gets up to the line of scrimmage and he sees something he doesn't like from the defense, don't be surprised to hear him call an audible, much like Peyton Manning used to. Ottawa! Ottawa! Now listen, I know that picking on the hat is kind of like shooting fish in a barrel, which is coincidentally the main source of the nation's diet, but I can't wait to see the pregame festivities. William Shatner waving to the crowd, the cast of Degrassi 90210 unfurling the field-sized Canadian flannel, Gord the crop duster doing a flyby at the moment Geddy Lee gets to the refrain of Tom Sawyer. Should be a fantastic atmosphere. I can't wait. And speaking of the Met Rick system, that hack from Buffalo is running around SoCal. I've been there once before. Just want to give him a little piece of advice. When Ira Craig says he can get you into the Playboy Mansion, be warned. It's just a shanty in Venice that he constructed out of his dad's old magazines. I got to run, Jim. Thanks.
Rack him. He was going to say something, and then he got clipped. Caleb in Green Bay.
Good night now!